This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
Our next guest has been called a rock star of graphic design, among other things. He's created about a zillion book covers, and now he's sharing some advice on creating visual design and appreciating design in the world around us.
Chip Kidd is with us. He's an author, a designer. His new book is Go, A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design. Chip, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, reading your book, I realized there's something dangerous about thinking about design because you just start to see it everywhere. And it is everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, and I don't think there's any danger in that.
So where do we, I mean, anything you write that isn't natural, it was designed by someone. That's a different way to think about the world that we don't pay attention to that much.
Well, I think, I think it helps to pay attention to it. I mean, you have to consider that somebody has to figure everything out, and there's no reason to take that for granted. And sometimes when people don't figure things out very well, it can be rather catastrophic.
Now, even if we're not pros and we don't do this for a living, is it useful for us to think about design and work it into our lives?
I definitely think so. And I mean, everybody designs their life, whether they realize it or not, from what they wear to how they interact with coworkers or their friends or their family. I mean, that is design. And I'm getting a little egg-heady here. The book itself is really more about getting kids or any other kind of novice to graphic design to sort of think about what it is and what makes it up and what the components are, and then think about how to make it for themselves.
Well, let's get into that. I mean, I'm a novice, not a kid. There are a lot of kids who do better graphic design than I do. What are some of the basic tools if we're designing, I don't know, a PTA flyer or a sign or a logo or a for sale sign? What are some good tools we can use to make it pop a little more than we might on our first try?
Well, I think one thing you have to think about is clarity, actually. And you're saying a PTA flyer. What hierarchies of importance, of information. What do you want your audience to see first when they see this PTA flyer? Do they want to see what day and time it is first? Do they want to see where it's being held first? I think these are kinds of considerations to make when you're and that's a very sort of pragmatic piece of design. There's a sort of example I have in the book about how do you design something to help somebody get out of a building right away if they need to, which is of course an exit sign. And the point being, you don't need something like that to be extremely elaborate or decorative or even extravagantly colored. What you need for it to be is very immediate and very recognizable and very understandable about where and how to leave a building. So something like a PTA flyer would be similar to that. Whereas there's no reason to make something like that overly decorative. You just need to be able to get your message out in the clearest, most concise way possible.
Do you think that's a stumbling block for some people? They try to make something that's really very functional and try to make it too ornate or pretty or complicated?
Well, you'd have to take it as a case-by-case basis, but I certainly see examples of that all the time. I don't know if you do, but I'm sure that happens all the time.
Well, let's get into some of the tools. A lot of your book, as you mentioned, is a lot of different tips on things to try in graphic design. One of them you talk about is scale, big versus
yes.
small. How do you use that contrast to best advantage?
Well, again, it all depends on what the problem is, and defining the problem helps you to more easily define the solution. And again, scale and big and small are all relative things. So what you start with is what you call your picture plane, which is, let's say it's 8.5 by 11 next sheet of paper, and I'm just thinking out loud here. You've lost your cat, and you want to get him back desperately. So you would want to make the picture of the cat as relatively large as you can, so that people can more easily recognize him. And that's just common sense. But then, if you're going to put little tabs at the bottom so that people can call you, those are going to be relatively small, because you're going to have a lot of them, and you're going to rip one of them off to use the phone number. So, I mean, there's just a kind of very pragmatic example of you know, comparing large and small on the same page. But again, we're only talking about 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. If you have a lot of money and you're totally desperate, you can rent a billboard, and then that's something else entirely.
You really want that cat?
Yep.
So you've done a lot, over 1,000, I think we actually said zillions, we rounded up a little, of book designs. Talk us through your process. Like, how do you take a book and then figure out what the cover needs to look like?
You read it. You read the manuscript, and you just kind of take it from there, and you let the author basically guide you. Again, like I did a talk on for TED about this, and I don't want to overlap with that, because anybody can go online and see that, where I talk a lot about this in terms of specifically designing book covers. But you act as a translator. You act as an interpreter and a translator of the author's text into a visual icon.
All right. Well, let's go deeper into the toolkit now. You also write about using light and dark contrast. What are some tricks of the trade? And it doesn't matter if it's a particular, you know, sign or anything like that, but what are some of the ways we can use light and dark in our design?
Well, I mean, if you're dealing with typographic information, do you want to use a dark background with light type, or do you want to use a light background with dark type? If you're dealing with text on the written page, as you probably know, you want a white or off-white page, and you want dark type for because if you print an entire book the other way around, it's just going to strain your eyes. It's just not going to be good for you. Conversely, if you're driving down the highway and you're trying to find which way to go, there's a reason that highway signage has a relatively dark background and light letters, which of course are also very reflective for evening. And that's because you're only concentrating on a very small but very important amount of information. And in that case, a dark background with a light type works better. You know, also similarly, think of movie credits.
Oh, yeah. They're almost always light on dark.
It's always light on dark. But you wouldn't want to read a novel that way.
True. Very true. Well, I'm looking in your book right now, Positive and Negative Space. You use the FedEx logo as a successful use of negative space with that arrow hidden in amongst the letters.
Yes. Brilliant.
Why does that pop like it does?
Well, what's kind of wonderful about that is that it's there if you see it, but if you don't see it, it doesn't really matter. But it's just kind of a wonderful sort of subconscious subliminal thing of, you know, not only is it an arrow, it's an arrow going from left to right. So where the E of FedEx meets the X of FedEx, the negative space makes an arrow that implies that they are going to be taking your package and successfully getting it from point A to point B. Another, I think, wonderful use of negative space that I cite earlier in the book in the history of graphic design is the logo for Obama, the way inside it, the sun is rising over the horizon.
Right. Some people have said we're entering an age where images are becoming like a language. With that in mind, any advice on getting the most out of an image we use to send a message?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's changed. You know, the first graphic design was the cave paintings at Lascaux in 15,000 BC, and those were purely pictures. So in that sense, this is kind of old news. I'm not quite sure what the question is, but if you do a lot of traveling, especially to foreign countries that don't speak English, you'll see increasingly the signage is all in pictograms, so that it, no matter where you're from, you're able to read it. And I, you know, I think that that's a good thing.
All right, in our last 30 seconds or so, Chip, you end with homework assignments. What's something that somebody could try right now to see to get into graphic design?
Oh, my goodness. Homework. That just sounds like no fun at all. I love the assignment of, you know, create a poster that either gets somebody to start doing something or stop doing something. I'm sure there's something in your life that you once started or you once stopped, and think about using graphic design to make that happen.
All right, and Chip, you're on your way to Wisconsin next week for the Library and Library Association meeting, right?
That is correct. Now, to be more exact, that's October 22. So that's not next week.
Week after.
It's the week after. It's the 23rd, actually,
gotcha.
Wednesday. Green Bay.
All right, Chip, thanks a lot for joining us.
Okay. Quickly, can I give you the correct pronunciation of the book?
Go, A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design?
It's Go,
gotcha.
A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design.
All right, Chip, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Chip Kidd, author and designer. His new book is Go, A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design.